I want to speak this morning on the subject, Lucky Canaan. Lucky Canaan. I'll not go into the sordid story of how that Ham, the son of Noah, saw the nakedness of his father when his father had become drunken. And I will not go into the details of the sordid story. I will go and say this, that there was a curse. There is some disagreement as to whether God placed the curse or not. That doesn't affect the message at all. There was at least words spoken and said, cursed shall Canaan, the son of Ham, be. And then it says, for he shall be a servant of servants to his brethren. I contend that that's not a curse. But I contend that if you, dear black friends, or the descendants of Ham and Canaan, and if God had made it so you'd have to be a servant of servants, I congratulate you. If I understand the Bible correctly, that's the highest job known to mankind. And I envy you. And I almost wish you'd have given it to Texans as well as to black people. I get a little weary. I'm not going to be your servant. Something wrong with you. You miss the whole idea of the Christian life. I want to speak this morning on the subject, Lucky Canaan, Heavenly Father, my Father, the Father of my Savior. Holy Spirit, Thou the indweller of this body for these 46 years, and Thou who so often, by Thy mercy and grace, has blessed me as I've spoken, and Thou who has often been disappointed because I did not lean upon You enough, would You help me this morning? No way that one man can be to several thousands of people what they need, especially this man. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down, melt our hearts as one, unite us for a blessing to each of our whole hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. On May 13, 1937, at the coronation of King George VI, in his speech he said these words, "The highest of distinctions is the service for others. The highest of distinctions is the service for others." Once as a young preacher, I set out to find the greatest people in the Bible. Who are the great ones? And I found kings like David, prophets like Daniel, and preachers like Apollos, and pastors like James, and generals like Joshua, and captains like Naaman, giants like Samson, leaders like Moses, apostles like Peter, missionaries like Paul, patriarchs like Abraham. And I said, certainly, those were the great people in the Bible. And then I began to read scriptures like Matthew 20:27, Matthew 23:11, Mark 10:44. He that is chief among you, let him be your servant. He that is chief among you shall be your servant. And this sets forth an interesting paradox. Perhaps the greatest are not the greatest. Perhaps the greatest are those who serve. Not David, but his mighty men. That one whose hand played to his sword and defense of King David. For the Bible says his hand could not be removed from the sword's handle. Maybe greatness is not Abraham. Maybe it's Eliezer. Or maybe greatness is not Naaman. Maybe it's that little maid that pointed Naaman to the man of God who could care for his needs. Maybe greatness is not Moses. Maybe the greatness is Aaron and Hur. who held his hands high. And when they did, the battle was won. When Moses' hands were lowered, the battle was lost. God said to Moses, he said, sit on the rock. Just get on the rock. And then Aaron on one side and Hur on the other, let them hold high the hands of Moses. That's a winner all the time. You show me a preacher who'll stand on the rock, and you show me a people who'll hold his hands high, and I'll show you a winning combination. Maybe it's not the one who gives orders who is the greatest. Maybe it's the one who obeys orders who's the greatest. Maybe it's not the one who has many servants who's the greatest. Maybe it's the one who serves many who's the greatest. Maybe it's not the one who owns much who's the greatest. Maybe it's the one who gives much who's the greatest. Maybe it's not the one behind the pulpit who's the greatest. Maybe it's the one behind the broom. Maybe it's not the soloist. Maybe it's the accompanist. Maybe it's not the one who writes the book. Maybe it's the one who types the manuscript. Maybe it's not the one whose name is in the bulletin. Maybe it's the one who mimeographs the bulletin. Perhaps the great ones are not the ones who own the building. Perhaps the great ones are the ones who clean the building. Perhaps the great ones are those like Dorcas and David's mighty men and Ittiah and the 600 Philistines who guarded the body of David and Naaman's little maid and Jochebed, the sweet mother of Moses, and the faithful Gaius, and Mary with her box of ointment, and Phoebe with her hospitality. Maybe those are the greatest. I mean this morning. I mean this with all my soul. If you want to look for greatness in this room today, don't you look behind the pulpit. Greatness is not behind the pulpit. Greatness is in those who say, I have found the answer, and the answer is in the service of my God by being a servant to other people. Greatness. You want to find greatness this morning in this place. You look at a rest home today where Mrs. Bartell lies, the victim of a stroke. That precious little lady whose husband was a pastor. He went to heaven and she wrote me a letter. And she said, Dear Dr. Heil, I love your ministry. I believe in you. She said, My husband's gone to heaven now. And she said, I'd like to come if you'd just get me a little place big enough to sleep and a little closet where I can pray. I'd like to come and just pray for you while you preach around the country. We put a little apartment back here, the back of our education building. And there for years, that saint of God lived. She got my schedule. And she, every time I preach, like tomorrow night, for example, God willing, I'll be preaching in Anchorage, Alaska. And she'd know that there are 4 hours difference in Anchorage. And she'd know I start preaching about 8 o'clock Anchorage time, which is midnight our time. And that little lady would fall on her face at midnight when I was in Anchorage. And she'd stay there on her face praying for God to bless her preacher. I never preached until she was stricken by stroke. I never preached one sermon, I guess, in 15 years without Mrs. Bartels on her face praying for God to bless her preacher. Ladies and gentlemen, if I understand this Bible correctly, that's what greatness is all about. You want to find greatness this morning? You go to the toilets of our church. And you watch a little deaf lady who comes in after a while. Never hears the choir sing. Never hears an offertory. Never hears a solo or a special number. She's never heard her pastor preach. But she walks and lives in a world of silence. And her entire life is spent just going from one toilet to another in the First Baptist Church of Hammond and cleaning the toilets. If I understand the Bible correctly, she is the greatest of all. You want to see greatness? You go to Mrs. McCarroll back there, who for I do not know how many years comes to my office on Sunday morning before Sunday school, knocks on the door, and comes in with a sack. And in that sack this morning, there were grapes, oranges, apples, bananas, and some yogurt. And every, all during the summer when the flowers are blooming, always a bouquet of flowers. She has no attention for it, but that's her job. I didn't ask her to do it. She just serves. I'm saying, if I understand the Bible, that's what greatness is all about. If you want to see greatness, you walk
outside this door tonight when I finish preaching. As I walk out, I'll tell you what will be there. There'll be a young man there. And that young man will have a little glass, a little styrofoam glass in his hand. And in that styrofoam glass will be the freshest squeezed orange juice you ever drank in your life. I don't know how many years that Mrs. Lael has squeezed that orange juice on a Sunday afternoon and sent me that freshly squeezed orange juice just as soon as I walk out that door. You know, people are saying, Brother House, I'm unemployed. I tell you, there's a lot of work needed. Servants are needed everywhere. And the Lord Jesus said, let him that is the greatest be the servant of all. If you want to see greatness this morning, you come to those men that guard me, those men that walk with me down the alley and down the hall, ways here to protect my life, those men that stand outside my office in the hallway while I'm working, and those who walk me to my car, and those who meet me in my car when I get home, and those young men who stand out, sit outside my window through the night because of threatening letters and so forth, and those young men are willing to serve. And if I understand the Bible correctly, those are the greatest of all. You go to the back row this morning if you want to see greatness. It sits back there on the back row a man named Randy Erickson. One of the greatest men I ever knew is Randy Erickson. His wife and him he were sitting in church one Sunday morning. Looked up and she said, Randy, Brother House is a little fuzzy. No smart cracks about that from the bass section. But the house looks a little fuzzy. And they took her and had some tests, and they, of course, had found out she had a tumor on the brain. They removed that tumor, but she's not been able to walk since the tumor's removed. And she talked just about like this. She cannot bathe herself. She cannot care for herself. And God's given Randy Erickson the gift of being a servant. And not only that, but no children, but taking care of these buildings all the time. I'm saying that's what greatness is. Greatness is not the preeminent position. Greatness was not when John and James and John through their mother sought the highest seats in the kingdom. No, greatness is cleaning the washroom. Greatness is taking care of the buildings. Greatness is Randy Erickson squeezing me some carrot juice every morning. When I get to my office, there's a little glass of carrot juice there. Randy Erickson puts it there every morning when I'm home, every morning. And that's what greatness is. You want to see greatness, you go to his custodians, that godly men, group of men who keep these buildings clean. I salute them and I stand before them and doff my hat to them, those men that serve. And we come in here like this and sawdust all over this place. Stan Wojcik never says a word about it. He never says, preacher, I want more money. He quit, but he didn't ask for more money. And he never says that. He just goes right on doing his job. He's a servant. You want to see greatness this morning, you go to the dining hall at the college and you see those young ladies who wait on tables. Or you go to our nursery and you see that army of people that are changing diapers and coddling little babies this morning. You want to see greatness, you go to that man who shuffled the snow during the night. You want to see greatness, you go to my sister who waits on my mother lovingly like nobody I've ever seen in my life. You want to see greatness, you go to the faithful helpers on my staff, these loyal people who just anything the preacher wants, that's what they want. You want to see greatness this morning, you go to the baptistry dressing room. Larry Stromberg and Lael and others go up there. You know, the motley, big crowd, and sometimes a motley crowd of people up there to get ready for baptism. And the dear ladies up here, never any attention much and never any word much, but always on their job. They're servant. And that's what greatness is. You want to see greatness this morning, you go to that army of bus workers who yesterday spent 8 to 10 hours out in the cold sub-zero weather knocking on doors and carrying the message of grace to people that need the story of Christ. If you want to see greatness, you go to the cooks at the college dining hall or the pathfinder workers over here who work with the Educable Slow or the Sunbeam workers who work with our Educable Slow children across the alley. And right now they're there. You want to see greatness, you go to the servant. May I say to you young men in Howells Anderson College, you'll not be great because you rule many. You'll be great if you serve many. You'll not be great because you give orders and commands. You'll be great because you obey orders and commands. You'll not be great because you have much. You'll be great if you learn to give much. And our Savior said, servant is the greatest of all. Look at that tabernacle. See those crowds. Look at the thousands of people flocking in to hear that evangelist. Look at that big tabernacle. Look at the altar filled with converts. Who is that preacher? I know who he is. That's Billy Sunday. Oh, you know where he came from? He was the tent man for J. Wilbur Chapman when he was an evangelist. When J. Wilbur Chapman became a pastor, he said to Billy Sunday, I'd like you to take over. And Billy Sunday thought he couldn't do it. Let me tell you something. The way up is still down. And the way forward is still backward. And the way to be honored is to be abased. And to base yourself. And the way to be ruler is to be obeyer. And the way to be crowned is by way of the cross. Look at that great missionary. Look at him as he circles the Mediterranean Sea. Look at those churches he's building. Look at that courage he has. What a great man. Do you know where he came from? He started off as a servant to missionary Barnabas. Even Saul of Tarsus. Look at that general. Look at him as he conquers the promised land. Look at him as he leads the people of God from victory to victory. Who is he? That's the fellow Joshua. He started out as a servant for Moses. I guess my favorite story, and it's not unknown to you, my favorite story about this took place over at Moody Bible Institute years ago when R.A. Torrey was its president. He came home from a preaching engagement and had to go for another. And he went up to one of his students and said, young man, he said, could you get my shoes shined quickly? I've got to leave quickly and go preach somewhere else. Could you get my shoes shined somewhere? And would you take these clothes down, get them cleaned and washed and pressed, and get them back here? And the young student of Moody Institute said, what do you think I am, your servant? Another student overheard what this young man said. And he said, Mr. Torrey, I'd like to be your servant. Could I shine your shoes? Could I press your clothes? Could I wash your shirt? And that young man did. His name, Charles M. Gray, who later became the president of Moody Bible Institute, and whose name is right beside Mr. Torrey's on the outside of that auditorium, the Torrey Gray Auditorium. You know, we have a lot of folks who want to be on the top side, but the Lord Jesus said that the most important is the servant. I used to sit in a college class and dream, like all young preacher boys do. I dreamed of great crowds. I dreamed that someday I'd preach to crowds like this. And I've had them. God's privileged me. I preached in the great coliseums of this country. I preached in the great city auditoriums, many of them. And Sunday after Sunday, I preached anywhere from 5,000 to 7,000 people in this great auditorium Sunday morning and Sunday night. And Wednesday night, I teach the Bible to 4,000 or so. I've had them. Now, I'm not trying to be a good Christian right now. I just want to tell you what I feel. I don't much care about the crowds anymore, how big they are, where I go. My dream now is to be a servant. I was thinking last night, if God would just let me in some way serve you the rest of my life, if my voice ever leaves me, this old raspy voice that preached over 41,000 sermons now, if it ever leaves me, do me a favor. Hire me on the custodial staff. I'd like to clean the building where you sit. I'd like to vacuum the rug on which you walk, in the pews where you sit. I mean, I've had the crowds, and I'm glad about that. And I've had the big invitations and big calls, and I'm glad about that. But I'll be honest with you, the greatest excitement of my life has been just being able to serve you. I used to sit in the corner. My daddy, late at night, Erlene was gone, married at the time. I've seen my daddy come in at night, take his big old 235-pound body and double up his fist and hit my little 100-pound mother in the mouth. He was drunk. He wouldn't have done it if he'd been sober. one night I saw two of her teeth as black as coal fall out on the floor. And I saw my mother crawl on her hands and knees back to my daddy's feet and hug his feet, look up and say, I love you, Effie. And I said, someday I'm going to be a millionaire. And I'm going to give her what she deserves. She's going to be a queen one of these days, and I'll see to it. And I dreamed of making a million. I made the million. I don't have any of it. It fled. Or flood. Fled, flad, flood, it flood. And it's gone. I don't have any of it. But she wears a diamond ring. And she wears a diamond studded watch. And she wears as nice a clothes as anybody in this church can afford. And she has nice furniture. And she's lived to enjoy a few of the luxuries of life. I'm trying to say, fully on $1 million, fully on it. But thank God, it didn't stick. I was thinking last night, over $200 million had gone through these fingers. Not bad for a little kid in the ghetto. None of it stuck. I'm saying, I don't care. Fool you on the money. Fool you on the big crowd. Fool you on it. Just let me be a servant. Or if I can't preach, please let me drive a bus. Let me join a mission man to shovel snow so you won't slip and slide. You know, there's something this morning and last night that I've been thinking about. I've been feeling sorry for Pastor Miller. I really have. You know why? Because he's not here. I feel sorry for anybody that's not here. But I've been feeling sorry for him. I wish he could have dinner today or lunch today with everybody here that he pastored. I wish he could spend some time. I mean, I'm saying that all I want to do, I mean this, and I'm not trying to be a good Christian. I couldn't if I tried. But I just want to serve you. I mean, listen, if you ever get this and grasp it and live in it, this joy of being a servant. I used to sit and dream of a big car. We used to push our car off down the hill, get it started. And then if it didn't start, we pushed the car back up the hill so we could push the car back down the hill to get it started. And I used to dream of somebody having a big car. Started off 1941 Dodge, but that's 1948. Called it Jezebel because it was so cantankerous. And then a little Plymouth. And then a Dodge. And then another Dodge. And then a 56 Olds and a 58 Olds. And a 60 Olds. Then back to a 56 Buick. I came here and got a cut and pay. Well, you're really good. Anyway, I got a 56 Buick. And then a 54 Ford that I pushed off every morning down the hill, and it wouldn't start, back up the hill and pushed it down the hill. And then I finally got a little better car. I got me a 98 Olds one year. Had everything on it. Washing machine in the back seat. Dryer in the trunk. Loaded. I drove it 3 months, Brother Ray, and traded it in. It's not what it's cracked up to be. I used to dream of having a cottage on a lake. Russell Anderson let me borrow some money, and I paid it all off myself, but he and I went together and bought a nice cottage on the lake. I think I was there four times in 13 years. It's highly overrated. I used to dream of having a swimming pool in the backyard. We have one now. I've had about 10. Russell Anderson put it in for us, gave it to us. We've had it about 10 years. I never have been in it yet. I used to dream of meeting great people, and I've met the greats. I used to dream of traveling, and I've traveled. I used to dream of having maybe a big church someday, and I have a big church.
But I want to stand this morning to serve notice to you that the most fun in this world is serving. The most fun in this world is
what the Savior did when he stood up in the upper room and girded himself and took a towel, and the Son of God, God incarnate, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Glory, the King Eternal,
went down and began to wash the feet of the disciples. I'm saying, let me be your servant. Just let me counsel with 145 of you a week as I do now. Just let me help you rear your children and teach you the Word of God as best I know it. Let me marry your young. Pray for you when you're sick. Let me weep with you when you weep and laugh with you when you laugh. Let me come to the cottage, you young people, and be a dad to you while you're away from home. Let me love you. Let me preach to you. Just let me serve you. I don't have the youth I brought here 25 years ago. I don't have the voice I brought 25 years ago. But I don't have the love I brought here 25 years ago either. It's deeper and stronger. Did you know the word minister means servant? Did you know the word deacon means servant? Paul began his epistle to the Romans calling himself a servant. Peter began his second epistle calling himself a servant. Jude began his epistle calling himself a servant. Jesus in Philippians 2:7 says, it says he took upon himself the form of a servant. In Luke 22:27, Jesus said, I am among you as he that serveth. When Moses died in Joshua 1:2, God said simply, Moses, my servant, is dead. Only 8 people in the Bible were ever called, did ever God speak concerning and say, my servant. The mighty power of God is promised to servants in Joel 2:29. Did you know if you ever intend to be like the Savior, you're going to have to serve. Would you be like him? He chose a young donkey over a noble charger. Would you be like him? He chose a cross over a crown. Would you be like him? He chose a walking stick over a royal scepter. Would you be like him? He chose a soldier's borrowed overcoat over a royal robe. Would you be like him? He chose a cluster of thorns over a crown of royalty. Would you be like him? He rested on a borrowed bed. Would you be like him? He wore a borrowed overcoat. Would you be like him? He borrowed a cradle at birth. Would you be like him? He preached on a borrowed boat. Would you be like him? He rode on a borrowed ass. Would you be like him? He had the Last Supper in a borrowed room. Would you be like him? Then the rich, he was rich, but he became poor. He was God, but became man. He was perfect, but bore our sins. He was honored, but became dishonorable. He was wise, but became human flesh. He humbled himself to death, even the death of the cross. Please don't be mad at me for doing this. And please, I cannot do it with others. But Christmas Day, I saw Randy Erickson, the church working. And I resolved I was going to take Randy with me on one of my trips in a few weeks. And Randy and I took off together Thursday. I preached in Jacksonville, Florida. We flew down together. I didn't take the accommodation the church had made for me. I rented us rooms in a nice Hilton hotel. And we spent some time together. I leased a car. I don't even own a car. I drive the church mail wagon. I leased a car. Found for $39 I could drive a Lincoln Continental. If Russell Anderson's hearing this right now, I sure enjoyed it, Russ. Rented a car. And on Tuesday afternoon, and Randy won't like me to say this, but on Tuesday afternoon I took him to buy him a suit. I'd asked the Holy Spirit to lead me to the right place. We drove by, on the way to lunch with the pastor, we drove by a place. I looked over and I knew the name of that fellow. It said, Men's Store. And I'd heard about that place. Christian man runs it. They didn't know where it was. All the big city of Jacksonville, surrounding areas, I guess 750,000 people. We drove right by that store. We drove back to the room, and I said, Randy, let's go. We got in the car and drove back, and I said, walked in, and I said, pick out a suit, Randy. And the young man walked up and said, you're Dr. Hiles, aren't you? I said, yes. He said, would you sign my Bible? Another young man walked up, who was a salesman there. He said, Dr. Hiles, he said, you don't know this, but he said, I was called to preach at pastor school, and I'm a ministerial student now. And one little middle-aged fellow walked up and said, Dr. Hiles, can I tell you a story? He said, years ago, we used to live in Crown Point, Indiana. He said, I had a little five-year-old girl. He said, none of us were saved. He said, one of your bus workers came and knocked on our door and took our little five-year-old girl to Sunday school and said, introduced our family to the love of Christ. My little girl got saved. My entire family got saved. He said, would you tell your bus workers for me that my little daughter's grown now and she and her husband are going to the mission field next summer? I tell you, boy, this is a wonderful business to be in. Another fellow walked up and said, would you sign my Bible? And the young lady, the clerk, walked up and said, would you sign my Bible? And the owner of the store heard I was there, and he came out. He said, well, Dr. Jack Hiles. I took him back in the back room, and I said, I want to tell you something. I said, that man out there is a great one here, not me. I said, that man out there lives day and night for the buildings of First Baptist Church of Hammond. He carries a burden the like of which I don't even comprehend. This guy said to his salesman, said, well, Dr. Hiles is buying him a suit, said, give him nothing from me. I said, wait a minute, I need suits too, you know. Here's what happened, and Randy is going to kill me. If he kills me, I'll fire him. He got in the car and he was crying. Randy began to cry. Like a baby. Like a baby. And he said, Brother Hiles, I didn't know you were so famous. I said, nothing to it. I felt like a dirty bum. My Bible didn't say that the person's the greatest who's on the program. My Bible said the person's the greatest who's the servant. My Bible didn't say the fellow's got his name on the station is the greatest. My Bible didn't say the one that leads. My Bible said, he that is greatest among you, let him be your servant. I know self cringes at the thought. It seeks to gain the mastery. Its head must wear a crown. Its feet must be shod with silver slippers. It will wear no sackcloth. It yearns after God's throne. It must be clad in silk. It wants no calloused hands. It wants its own feet washed. I know! That's what self wants. But that's not what greatness is. This whole world has never yet learned that they that go forward do so by going backward. This whole world has never learned that the way to go up is to go down. So the world has never learned we become great by becoming servants. We rise by descending. We mount by seeking. We receive by giving. We rejoice by weeping. We conquer by yielding. We gain by relinquishing. We're exalted by being abased. Yesterday morning at 11 o'clock, one of the most beautiful little faces I ever saw was resting in a casket. Aunt Lou. She never led an army. She never wrote a constitution. She never electrified a senate nor made an important invention. She never decided the fate of a nation. She never led a people out of bondage. She never prolonged the daylight to kill five kings in a cavern. She never unrolled an apocalypse on Patmos or presided over an apostolic college. She did not mother the Christ child. She was not a Florence Nightingale or an Anne Judson serving the Bornesian cannibals or Elizabeth Fry doing wonders with criminals at Newgate. She was no Hannah, no Elizabeth, no Mary. She was just a servant. Just a servant. All of us can't be pastors. All of us can't be soloists. All of us can't be employers. All of us can't be singers. All of us can't be authors. I made a statement here, and I'm going to say it again. Close. Hear me carefully. I think it's the greatest statement that's come out of my mouth. Nothing's original, but I never heard it before. But it's the great. If I've made a great statement in the last few years, this is it. Everything that has ever made anybody happy since Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden is available to everybody in this world today. I said again. Everything that has ever made anybody happy. I didn't say excited. I didn't say thrilled. I didn't say ecstatic. I said happy. I mean joyful. I mean peaceful. I mean contented. Everything that has ever made any human being contented since Eden's garden is available now to everybody in this world. And I want to say this. The top is also available. If your goal is to someday pastor the largest church in the world, only one of you can do it. If your goal someday is to be the greatest evangelist in the world, only one can do it. But the greatest job, the greatest position, hey, did you get that? The greatest position known to mankind today is available to all men. Lucky. Canaan, a servant of servants. A curse? No. A blessing. Our Heavenly Father